Do you love Yankee baseball? If so, this is the show for you. Welcome to Pinstripe Talk with your host, Nick Delahanty. Coming to you live from Garfield, New Jersey, this is another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Typically, for those of you who listen in to our show on a regular basis, you would know that we like to get to our action right away. We do a little social media hype up. We try to get you to join in on our conversation. But today's show is a little bit different because we have some breaking news to announce for you guys, and we are very excited to finally put this into play. The Pinstripe Talk podcast is now being hosted by Megaphone. And this is basically a new site that we are going to be using to host our podcast. So how does this affect you as the listener? To be quite honest with you, it really doesn't. What you will notice throughout the show is there will be ads that are placed in our show. The ads go about for revenue purposes. They help us generate some revenue on our end, but they are little 30-second clips that do offer you some promotions as you listen in. So while you're listening to the show, if you need a little break, there will be some commercial time for you to take a break, listen in. Maybe you'll find some good deals. You never know. But again, nothing really will change. You'll be able to find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. You'll be able to find our show on all those outlets. So nothing really changes on your end. But this is a partnership that we are very excited to bring about. And we hope that you continue to support our show as we look to expand it moving forward. We're excited to make this announcement. We're excited to team up with Megaphone. A bunch of great people over there have been tremendous in helping us get our feet in the door. And we can't thank them enough. And we truly, truly cannot wait to see what this partnership has in store for us. Along those lines, we have also made the decision as an executive decision that our show will be aired every Tuesday moving forward. So no more, we're going to have a show on Monday and then on a following Friday or vice versa. Now we're going to have a set date. So regardless of what's going on, you will hear our show every Tuesday afternoon. We'll air a new show for you to listen to. And yes, of course, if things happen, if breaking news comes along, if there's something important that we need to discuss, we will host some breaking news shows and special segments for you guys to listen in. But for now, we'll be airing on Tuesday, so make sure you put it on your calendars. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Make it nice and easy. It'll go right to your phone, and you can listen to our show at your convenience, whether you're on the road or at home or chilling by the pool or in the hot tub, whichever you prefer. I'm a hot tub guy, so, you know, it's supposed to get hot in Jersey over the next couple of days, but, you know, I'm still a guy who loves the hot tub. You can listen to us no matter where you go, so make sure you utilize all those outlets that we have in place for you, and we'll go forward from there, and we'll continue to update you as more exciting news comes along with regards to our show. As always, find us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Find my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. You can also find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Give us a like on there. As always, subscribe, rate, and review the show on Apple Podcasts. We can't ask you enough. We thank you in advance for all your support. Now that all that's done, today's show is going to focus on the starting pitching market. And we're about 2 weeks away from the trade deadline. The Yankees are definitely involved in the starting pitching market. They have been linked to numerous arms. And it's almost inevitable that Brian Cashman will pull the trigger on adding an arm before the deadline passes by. The Yankees do need some reinforcements in the rotation. They're in a good spot right now in the division, but they do need some extra help, and I am sure that Cashman will make some type of move prior to July 31st passing us by. We're going to break down some of the key guys that are on the market, or maybe not even on the market, but their name has been thrown around, and we're going to break them down by tier. And what I did was I looked at each pitcher by how I would rate them if I had a list. And we'll go through the list and I'll break down the tiers for you as we go along. But we'll break down each pitcher, why they'd be a good fit in the Bronx, and maybe some of the cons that would come along with making a trade for that said pitcher. All that and more on this episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Before we get into the action, we are going to take a quick commercial break. When we return, we'll jump right into the action. Here on Megaphone, this is the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Stay tuned. And we are back to the Pinstripe Talk podcast. Again, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Let's jump right into the action. Let's look at some of the starting pitchers that may be available on the trade market that the Yankees might explore adding before the July 31st trade deadline. I'm going to start with the top tier guys. And as you'll see, these guys are kind of on the fence as to whether or not they'll be traded, and we'll break down the reasoning why. The first guy that a lot of people tie the Yankees and a couple of clubs that are in contention to is Max Scherzer. And you can make the case that this guy is the best pitcher on the planet right now. 34 years old now. He's currently on the injured list due to a mid-back strain that he suffered in batting practice, believe it or not. The guy just gets hurt in BP. Maybe a move to the American League wouldn't be bad for him, considering he wouldn't have to hit on a regular basis. Before he landed on the IL, absolutely dominant. 9-5 record, really doesn't show it. In 19 starts as a 2.30 ERA. 129 innings, 181 strikeouts compared to 23 walks. So high strikeout rate, low walk rate, which is unbelievable for a starting pitcher. Something that you look for in a guy. 168-87 career record. 6 consecutive seasons of over 200 plus innings. 7-time All-Star. 3-time Cy Young Award winner. The guy is just unbelievable and would be a great addition to any team that would be able to acquire him. Now, with that being said, as dominant as he is and has been, is he available on the trade market? And right now, I would probably say the answer is no. And here's why. The National League, in case you haven't looked at the standings recently, is a dog's race between basically every team not named the Marlins. Every team is still in contention at some point or some way. The Nationals right now are leading the National League wildcard situation. They're 2 games up on the Phillies and the Cardinals in that respect. So they're right in the thick of things. If you're the Nationals, how could you go about selling your top arm knowing that you have a chance to make the playoffs? If they make that 1-game playoff, you can rest assured that Scherzer will be on the mound for that game. It's no doubt in my mind that he'll be on the mound in some way or some form. So right now with the Nationals being in the mix, it doesn't make sense for them to move on from their ace. Also, he has 2 years left on his 7-year, $210 million contract. Yes, the money's deferred over time, but there's approximately, from my account, $69 million left on that deal for the 2 years. So how much money would the Yankees have to take on in order to get Scherzer in pinstripes? Also, when you acquire somebody, you have to give up something in return. And the Yankees would have to basically unload the farm system to get a guy like him. You'd have to give up a lot to get him. So are you willing to give up some of these top prospects that Brian Cashman and crew have really shied away from selling from in the past? Or the recent trend where the Yankees have tried to keep hold of their top guys. Will they go away from that to get a guy like Scherzer? To me, I don't think he will be available at the deadline. If the Nationals struggle over the next 2 weeks, things could change. But it would be a safe bet to say that Scherzer is not available, but if he was, he would be the top target on the market for many teams, and I think the Yankees would be one of those teams for sure. The next guy I want to look at is Trevor Bauer. 28 years old. Say what you want about this guy. He doesn't really go about his business the way that most guys do. If you've read up on Bauer, he's a guy that said that he would rather sign 1-year deals for his career, and he feels comfortable and confident with that. Still under arbitration, has 1 more year of arbitration left before he hits the free agent market in 2021. He's making about $13 million this year, 8-7 with a 3.65 ERA. He's a great arm, and he's proven that he can be a top-of-the-line guy in a good situation. Look at Cleveland. They have so many good pitchers, and he stands near the top of their rotation. He's more than just a rental. You get him for 1.5 years. Again, that 1-year kind of rental thing, it is a little bit of a concern considering the fact you don't have long-term stability. You don't know if that's going to be a place that Bauer wants to stay long-term. And if he's going on one-year deals, that does cause concern for teams as they look for guys who are within their organization for a couple of years. Again, does Cleveland sell? They're right in the thick of things, too. They're right now in the wild card game. They have more depth than they thought, where a trade of Bauer could make sense. Again, in arbitration next year, he could probably pull close to $20 million for the 1 year. Do they want to pay a guy for 1 year that price? Can they afford that? Especially with guys like Francisco Lindor, due to hit free agency soon, they got to pay some of these guys. They might be able to get away with moving Bauer due to their surplus of pitching. And if they do, the price is going to probably be relatively high. Can a Clint Frazier be a headliner in a deal for a Trevor Bauer? Or do they look for a Florial or even a Garcia in return? It's going to be interesting to see. And if he becomes available on the open market, I'm sure teams just like Scherzer are going to be calling, because this guy is a game changer. The way that he goes about his business, the way that he studies the game, he can really make an impact, especially in October. He's been there with the Indians. He's been successful. He can definitely fill in a void that a lot of teams have, and the Yankees could definitely use that kind of boost. So if he's available, it wouldn't be a surprise if they look into Trevor Bauer. The only thing that I could see is the price tag being a little too high, being that he might be option number A on the open market, especially given the situation with other teams in the playoff hunt. There's been a lot of hype around this guy, and I would say that right now he's probably close to untouchable, and that's Luis Castillo from the Cincinnati Reds. No, not the Luis Castillo that dropped the fly ball for the Mets against the Yankees many years back. This kid is turning into an absolute stud. An all-star this year, 26 years old, 9-3 record with a 2.41 ERA. The thing about Castillo is he's growing into an ace, and he has that kind of dominant form that you look for. I watched him pitch the other night. The kid was just phenomenal, just aggressive around the plate. Very passionate about pitching. When he got a big strikeout, he was hyped up. He was into it. He was loving every minute of it. And he's a guy that you would love to build your rotation around for many years. Again, he's under club control, but do the Reds give him up? You know, they're looking long term, but they're in the thick of things right now. Who would have thought they were 5.5 out in the division and only 3.5 out in the wild card? The National League is crazy in terms of the wild card. And anybody could get in. And the Reds are right in the thick of things. I doubt that they would want to sell probably their most prized possession for pieces that could help them down the road. Now, if they were out of it and they didn't look like they had any kind of close, like, range success period, I would say maybe, yeah, they would look into trading him. But right now, being only 3.5 out of the wild card, you have to hold on to this guy. This guy could be a cornerstone of your rotation for many years, especially when some of their younger guys do progress through the system and ultimately become impactful players for them. He's a guy that I would hold on to. And if the Yankees wanted to acquire this guy, they would definitely have to empty out the farm system. There's no doubt about it. This would probably take a 4-5 prospect deal. And ultimately, I think that he would probably get back in return a majority or a good handful of top prospects. You're not going to get some lower range prospects for this guy. You're going to get the top of the crop type of guys, the guys that the Yankees are high on. Just like Scherzer or Bauer. Do the Yankees want to part with those guys? And if any of those three become available, I'm sure the Yankees will explore those options, because Brian Cashman doesn't seem like a guy who leaves any rock unturned. But the price might be too high and might be too out of range for the Yankees' liking, even though they do need pitching. So these guys, out of the percentage, I would say Bauer has the best chance of getting traded, and then Scherzer and Castillo, to me, are guys that I don't see getting traded anytime soon. Now we're going to look at some other guys who I don't rank as high as those other three, but are guys that could be available during this trade market season. The first one we have to look at is Madison Bumgarner, 29-year-old, spent his entire career with the Giants so far. The guy has done it all. He's been a four-time All-Star, has pitched deep into the postseason. If you look at his postseason numbers, he has been absolutely phenomenal. 1.11 ERA. That's a 2.11 ERA in the postseason in 16 games. The guy has been lights out for the Giants, helped them win multiple World Series titles, and now he's in a contract year. And it becomes a situation, do the Giants part ways with Mad Bum, a guy that a lot of people say should be a Giant for life. And again, the Giants aren't far out of it. They're 2.5 out of the wild card. They've been playing great baseball as of late, winning 8 of their last 10. How could you convince your fan base to get rid of this guy who's been around long term? And this is a guy that could help multiple teams. Yes, he's not the same guy that he was a couple of years ago. His ERA this year is close to 4. So he's not that same dominant guy. But I look at a situation like Justin Verlander, when a lot of people said that there was nothing left in the tank, he was struggling in Detroit, and a change of scenery into Houston really propelled his career and got him back on track. I'm not saying that Bumgarner is the same case. Every pitcher is different. However, Bumgarner's not a 35-year-old who's washed up completely. He's a guy who is right in the middle of his prime, and I just feel has to figure it out and has to stay healthy. You know, he had 6 or 7 consecutive seasons with 200-plus innings. 2017 to 2019 hasn't been as good in terms of innings-wise. In 2019, you can make the case that he's close to 185, 190 innings before it's all said and done. But this is a guy that I feel, with a change of a little scenery, could do a lot of damage for a team. And yeah, there are concerns that he's only a rental. How much are you really willing to give up in order to get him? But he's a guy that I think will get traded at the deadline. I think that the team that gets him is going to really benefit. I could see him fitting into Minnesota's rotation. I could see him fitting into Houston. Heck, I could see him in the Bronx pitching game 1 or 2 for the Yankees in a big postseason series. He has the resume that attracts teams. And when you're looking to win that World Series, you're looking for that guy who's going to take you over the top in October. And Bumgarner can be that guy. Yes, the recent stats haven't said that. The recent numbers haven't dictated that he's the same pitcher. But if I'm a team looking for a rental arm that can help me in the postseason, I would definitely take a chance on Bumgarner, especially if the price isn't as high as some of these other guys on the open market. The next guy we're going to talk about, and I have to apologize, I personally love watching this guy pitch. I'm a big fan of his, and that's Marcus Stroman. The guy is just made for New York, in my opinion. A New York-born kid. He, to me, is one of those guys that can really light a spark and a fire in any given ball club. And I love the way he goes about his business. Yeah, some people don't like it. Some people don't like the antics. Some people don't like how he acts on the field or on the mound or in the clubhouse or when he's warming up. But I love everything about this guy. And the numbers aren't going to wow you. Last year, 4-9, 5.5 ERA. Really bad year for him. This year, an all-star, 3.25 ERA. The wins and losses, I really don't look at. Toronto's really not that good. So I take into consideration that. But he's a guy that is not afraid of the pressure. And people compare him to Sonny Gray, pitching in a smaller market, really did well in a smaller market. How will it translate to New York? The difference between Sonny Gray and Marcus Stroman is that I personally feel that Stroman can handle the pressure of New York. Yeah, it's going to take a lot to get him. He's a free agent after the 2021 season, so you have him for a whole year after this year. But if he's available, I think there's a very high chance the Yankees show a ton of interest in him because he's the type of guy that I feel can plug into their rotation and can give them that boost that they're looking for. A guy that just wants to win. He's a competitor. He will do anything the team needs him to win. And the Yankees and Blue Jays, let's not forget, we're trade partners a year ago for Jay Happ. I could see it happening again. But in the same token, I could see the Yankees shying away from Stroman based on how his personality is. So I think there's both sides to the spectrum. If I'm the GM, I'm making a trade for this guy. Heck, I wouldn't have even let him leave Yankee Stadium after his start this past weekend against the Yankees. I wouldn't have let him leave the Bronx. I would have made the trade for him then. I just love watching this guy. I think that he's going to develop into a great arm over time. He's in the middle of his prime. He has shown the flashes that he could be really good, but I think that he just needs that winning atmosphere to really help propel him over the top. So Stroman is a guy that I put very high on my list. I think that a lot of teams should have him high on their list because he is definitely a game changer. We talked about some of the guys that I do definitely love on the open market. Guys like Bumgarner or Stroman, I would be very content with acquiring if I'm the Yankees. Now we're going to look at some guys that really I don't see as fits for the Bronx Bombers moving forward. The first one, Matthew Boyd, 28-year-old from the Detroit Tigers, really has one good year under his belt. And I say good kind of sarcastically because the guy's got a 4 ERA this year. It's not like he's pitching amazingly great where he's this dominant force. The thing that stands out to people in 114 innings, 152 strikeouts compared to 24 walks. So he doesn't walk a lot of guys, but he does strike out a lot of guys. And to me, I get it. He's in Detroit. They're in a rebuild. It's very tough to win games. So your wins and losses, you can't really look at that as a deciding factor on a guy. But I don't think his body of work over his first 5 years in the big leagues really dictates making a trade and overpaying for a guy like Boyd. There was rumors that the Tigers even asked for Gleyber Torres as a startup to even discuss Matthew Boyd. Now, that's pushing it. I'm sorry. You know, Gleyber is a lot better than Matthew Boyd, in my opinion, and can impact the Yankees on an everyday basis. I guess if their price comes down and you're looking for that lower, low-risk, high-reward type, maybe Boyd's an option. But to me, I would definitely stay away from him. I don't think that he's really an option for the Yankees. I don't think his price tag is going to allow him to be traded by the Tigers unless they really reevaluate their stance on the market and then try to get something for this guy. He is under club control till 2023, so I can understand why they want something in return for him, but their asking price may be too high for these contending teams. Another guy that I just don't understand the connection is Robbie Ray. 27 years old. I did go back and watch some film on him. I do like him a little bit more after I watched film. He's okay, in my opinion. A couple of decent years with the Diamondbacks. A guy that, another left-hander, he's a free agent after 2021, so he's not a full rental, but you get a full year of him. It just doesn't make sense to me for the Yankees to go after a guy like Ray when they need a top-of-the-line guy. I don't see Ray pitching in a Game 1 or a Game 2 of the World Series of the Yankees. I think that's what they're missing. They have a couple of guys in the middle of the rotation that can fill the void of a Robbie Ray. You know, you have a James Paxton, a CC Sabathia, guys like that. To me, I would prefer to add a righty, but in this case, a lot of people are high on Ray, and to me, it just doesn't make sense. A high walk rate does tend to walk a lot of batters. To me, I would stay away from Ray, and I would also stay away from his teammate, Mr. Zach Greinke, who there's other connections to. Apparently, the Diamondbacks are looking to get rid of his contract. He's a free agent after the 2022 season, or during for 2022, and he's been better this year, 2.95 ERA, a 10-4 record. The last 2 years has had an ERA under 3.3, which is good. You look back at his 2015 year where he went 19-3 with a 1.66 ERA. He's not that same pitcher, 35 years old. Do you really want to take on that contract? And Greinke, who does have some anxiety issues from what I understand, will he be able to fit in New York? And that's the big key. And I would stay away from him just because age, contract, and uncertainty as to what Zach Greinke you're going to get. Yes, 5-time Gold Glove, 6-time All-Star, 2-time ERA title champion. He's got the resume. But is this the Zach Greinke that we know of old? And is he the answer to get the Yankees over the top? And to me, the answer is definitely no. So I would stay away from that contract, even if it's a small return that you have to give the Diamondbacks to acquire a guy like Greinke. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're going to look at a pair of Mets pitchers that may be available on the market. And we're going to break down why I think one is a good option and one is not. And no, Jacob deGrom is not included in this conversation. That and more, we'll break down more starting pitching as the Pinstripe Talk podcast rolls on here on Megaphone. We hope that you are enjoying the Pinstripe Talk podcast. If you have something to say or would like to comment on something that you heard on our show, please feel free to contact us via social media. You could contact our host, Nick Delahanty, on Twitter by tweeting at @Nick_Delahanty, or you could send us an email, pinstripetalk@gmail.com. And we are back on the Pinstripe Talk podcast. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. A reminder, if you want to join in on our conversation, feel free to tweet us at @PinstripeTalkND. Hit me up on my personal account at @Nick_Delahanty. And find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Comment on what you've heard on the show. Give us your feedback and what you think the Yankees should do in terms of starting pitching as the trade deadline approaches. Before we wrap up today's show, we're going to take a look at two Mets pitchers who could be available on the market. Recent reports have stated that the Mets have sent Omar Minaya to scout Garcia, the Yankees, one of the Yankees' top pitching prospects in AAA. There is belief that the Mets would ask for Garcia in a trade that would revolve this guy, and that's Noah Syndergaard, 26 years old, former first-round pick of the Blue Jays. And to me, I like Syndergaard. He wouldn't be my top option, but I do like him. I think that he's a good quality pitcher. I think he could fit in the Yankees' rotation nicely. Not a free agent until 2022, so you have some club control on him, and he's about to hit his prime. To me, I think he's a little overhyped as to what we all thought he was going to be. But I think that in the right situation, again, I think that he could be a dominant pitcher. If the price is there and the Yankees could get him for a good price without really killing the farm system, I would look into it. I wouldn't give up a guy like Gleyber Torres. I wouldn't give up a guy like Florio. But again, if the price is there and he's the best option on the market, I think that the Yankees and Mets could come to some agreement where it works for both sides. Yes, it's difficult between the two teams to make trades. I get it. They have to make sure they look like they won the trade in order to please their fan bases. But if the price is right and the Mets are looking to add some pieces to build around their future core, which starts with Pete Alonso, then you could definitely see them looking into the Yankees farm system and trying to get some of those pieces to help them grow as an organization moving forward. The guy in the Mets organization that I would stay far, 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 far away from, and I can't state that enough, is Zach Wheeler. 29 years old, currently on the injured list due to fatigue. A guy who, I just don't see it. I don't see him as a top-of-the-line starter. I don't see him as the player that was traded for Carlos Beltran and was supposed to be one of the top pitchers in the game. He hasn't proven it. And now that he's heading into his age 30 season, first of all, he's a rental. Second of all, I think the Yankees need to look for a guy with more playoff experience moving forward, or a guy that kind of fits their mold a little better. I don't like what I've seen from Wheeler. I've watched a lot of film on him, and although there are flashes that he can be dominant, it's not consistent enough to the point where I'm comfortable putting him in the playoff rotation and hoping for a good start out of him. I would stay away. I wouldn't feed into the Mets' high demands for him. I know they're going to look for a high price tag for him, even though he is a rental. They're going to look for something in return that they could add to their future core. But to me, he should not be an option for the Yankees. I would stay away, even though they do have interest in him and they think that they could groom him into the ace that a lot of people thought that he would develop into. Now, to recap, if I'm the Yankees, and obviously I'm not, and I wish I was because that'd be the most awesome job in the world if I was working for them. Here's how I would rank the starting pitching based on availability. My number one option would be Bumgarner. I think with the playoff experience, I think with his knowledge, his ability, the fact that he's 29, he's only on a half a year deal. He's not a long-term answer. I think that that would fit nicely into the Yankees' plans, especially given what they get back. Severino will be healthy. Jordan Montgomery will be healthy. Garcia will eventually show up. You know, they have a lot of options that are around right now that they can really afford to take a chance on a half a year signing. And yeah, if he pitches well, the Yankees could definitely re-sign him. I'm not saying that. But it could be kind of a trial run to see, is this the Mad Bum that we know from the past? Or is this the Mad Bum that is kind of wearing down based off his innings work that he's had over the first 11 years of his career? So Bumgarner would be my top choice. My second choice, Marcus Stroman. I think that this guy's a competitor. The fire that he has is just unmatched. And the competitiveness and the heart. I just love everything about this kid. If the Yankees could get him, I would be one happy fan because I'm a true fan of his. I've admitted that multiple times, but he's a guy that I could see fitting nicely in the Bronx. My third option, I would give up a little more to get a guy like Trevor Bauer. I think that that's the guy, if you don't get Baumgartner or Stroman, that's the guy that the Yankees need to get in order to have a successful playoff run down the stretch. They need that next arm. They need that one more arm to push them over the top. They need that Verlander or Cole type that the Astros got to push them over the top. It'll be interesting to see if the Yankees do actually find that guy or if they kind of shy away from pulling the trigger on overpaying for a guy and roll with what they got. If I'm a betting man, which I'm not, I think the Yankees end up with a starter before the trade deadline. Heck, I think it happens before the trade deadline even happens. And if that's the case, we'll definitely have a breaking news podcast reaction show to fill you in on all the information on that deal and more. As always, this has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. We're excited to be launched on Megaphone. We're excited to team up with them. A lot of big things happening with our show. Continue to follow us on social media for more news and updates. Again, Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account, at Nick underscore Delahanty. Hit us up on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Remember to keep subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. If you're not an Apple person, go to Spotify on your phone or iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio. We have so many options for you to listen to our show. We hope you take advantage of them and more. As always, our show will be aired every Tuesday moving forward, unless there's a breaking news podcast that will be brought to you via social media. So make sure you keep up with all the latest with our show every Tuesday, and it will not fail. Make sure you continue to listen to our show. We appreciate everybody's support that we've received so far in this process. To wrap up today's show, once again, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. We thank you all for listening. And we can't wait to talk some more Yankees baseball with you next week here on the Pinstripe Talk podcast, brought to you by Megaphone.